This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition. I'm Ezra Zayed. Nurses play an essential but oftentimes invisible role in our healthcare system. So tonight we're going to be speaking to a few nurses, both experienced and new, to see things from their world, to better understand what their range of responsibilities are and how it all molds them into becoming the ultimate caregiver. Now, we've got with us three nurses from three different generations. Professor Lee Siu Hun, who is an 82-year-old nurse and lecturer. Datin Hafiza Cheikh Hassan, she's the Dean of the Nursing Faculty at the Lincoln University College. And finally, there's Sakti Parimsimam, a final-year nursing student from the same institution. Sakti, Datin Hafiza, and Professor Lee, thank you very much for being on the program. Just to give listeners an idea, when and how did each of you respectively decide to get into nursing? Was it something that your friends and family influenced you? Was it a calling that you saw? Could you tell us your respective stories? Maybe, Professor Lee, we could begin with you.
Yes. Of course, back in 1956, 57, opportunities for any form of profession was open. Few people will apply. However, my first choice was to be a teacher, and I went on to that for a short while. But then when I went into nursing...
And how old were you at the time?
At that time, because I was affected by World War II, so when I went into nursing, I was around 24, 25. And of course, after going into the class, I enjoyed all the lectures, but it was the moment when I was posted into the clinical area, when I was nursing babies. And those babies gave me the inspiration to come into nursing and be a nurse permanently.
I mean, you describe it quite eloquently, that connection when you're holding a child and you're involved in that process of bringing life into the world, that must have left an impact.
Yes, of course. That is why I stick on to that, you know, and I say no more going back into a teaching line. However, I still ended up to be a teacher of nurses.
Datin Hafiza?
Well, I came out of school quite early. So at 17, I was a primary teacher.
At 17?
Yes, 17 plus, at a very remote area in Sait. Then I visited a friend in Kulim Hospital. Then I find that one nurse was caring and looking after the patient. I feel that this is more interesting job. So after some time, I joined nursing in Penang.
And in terms of that primary interest all those years ago, what drew you to nursing to begin with?
The care. Because I have my dad who's asthmatic. So this is a chance for me to know more about his disease, how to take care at home, where the doctors go in and visit. I said, why must be a doctor? A nurse also can do if treatment was given. So that triggered me to become a caring nurse and compassionate nurses, because we need that patient and caring and compassionate towards the patient.
Now, Sakti, I know it's a little bit unfair to end with you because these two have a wealth of experience in this particular field. But from what I understand, you're a final year student. Tell us, you know, why did you decide to get into this? Because sometimes, you know, with a lot of these different professions, people come across it in different ways. Sometimes it's family pressure. Sometimes it's an interest. And sometimes, actually, it's one of those situations where there's an opportunity. I seem to have some of the skills and I can earn a little bit of money. What's your story?
Actually, no one has forced me to do in nursing. Actually, from my heart is I really interested to do nursing. Form 2, I met an accident. So
you were in an accident?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was admitted at the hospital. So there's some things my own mother also cannot do. Like I was vomiting, the nurse was clean. Then the nurse bring me to the washroom and everything, like as my own mother.
She provided all of this care for you in this very difficult
time.
So
like I think as a nurse can do everything, why not me? So I'm just start like that.
And so after you finished your secondary school studies, it was always going to be...
Yeah, nursing.
Nursing, terrific. Now, just looking back at that particular incident where that nurse took care of you, you know, my experience with nurses is A, when I go to hospital, and B, when I watch television. You know, nurses are always in the action when you're watching television series. What was your perception of what a nurse was? And as you started doing this and learning how to be a nurse. Did those two impressions meet, or is it still? Are you still finding out more about it?
Yeah, no, it is impressed me because before I was meet an accident, I think nurse is what, just like helping the patient, give the treatment to well the patient. But after I meet an accident, I was admitted. Then only I know I was suffering the hospital life with the doctor's advice, doctor prescription, the treatment. Then the nurses must give the treatment on time. If not, the doctor must call the nurse. Then everything I see, like as a nurse, have to manage everything.
Dr. Hafiza, I mean, just talking about how people perceive the profession of a nurse, because even in my own family, my grandmother was a nurse, my aunts in Kelantan are nurses. And so I think almost in every family, that particular profession is only one degree of separation away. You know somebody who's been a nurse. But how do people perceive that particular profession? And is that perception accurate or otherwise?
Well, people do not know what nurses is all about.
Yeah.
Before, I perceived nurses is just a maid. Then when I went in, my God, we have to learn all in detail what the doctor is doing. The doctor is giving treatment, and we are carrying out the nursing care and deliver the treatment. Then we know it is not easy.
Did it change? Was there at one point in time where you were only assistants, and then later on, did it change to nurses being more
assertive?
Yeah, and participating in the process.
Yes, because education played a very important part. During my time, it was certificate. Then as time passed by, we are diploma, and now all the nurses nearly all degree holder. So we should be treated like in par with the doctors. And also nurses now have critical thinking, whereby we nurses sometimes advise the doctor whatever, because we are 24 hours with the patient. They come in and give treatment the best as they can.
Professor Lee, could you talk a little bit more about that transition between when nurses were, I guess, assisting to now where, you know, they play a much bigger role? When did that change happen and why?
Now, in the past, nurses are always looked upon by most people as handmaidens of the doctors. But nursing has come a long way. It's more than 200 over years now. And Florence Nightingale played a very, very vital role in changing the minds of the young people who took up nursing to be able to, you know, sort of keep on learning and to be assertive to give the kind of care that they feel the patient needs. And of course, if you were to look at nursing in the Western parts of the world, it's a little bit, they are advanced. And for us in Malaysia, we are still quite far behind in terms of, well, advanced knowledge and as well as technology. We are a little bit slow. Take, for example, in America, the nurses have to be master's degree. So with that, they are able to open their own clinics, prescribe certain level of medication. Of course, here we haven't come to a stage whereby our government will really approve such kind of program for us. But we are now in the process of negotiating for better recognition by the public as well as by the government.
And looking back at, I guess, this very recent history, you know, when you look at the stakeholders within the context of a hospital, doctors, nurses, administrators, was there pushback and were there challenges for nurses to be given a little bit more recognition by the other stakeholders? Because you want the entire experience to be holistic so yes. that the patient gets yes. the best care possible, or were there obstacles to overcome?
It's not an easy transition because the doctors always feel that they are superior. They will not allow the nurses to be at par or rather be partners in the healthcare. So that is the problem. That is the big problem. So they must change their mindset, you know.
Is that still the case even today?
Yes, of course. That is why some of us, the senior nurses, we are also trying very, very hard to move nursing up in Malaysia.
Dr. Hafiza, has progress been made in that regard?
Yes, progress has been made. In certain area, the autonomy is given to the nurses. What Prof. Lee mentioned just now, at a general level, but I think certain area like in the renal department where we were trained, that the specialists trust the nurses a lot, so that nurses have the autonomy at certain time to decide and do things by themselves. Of course, this takes time because you have to have the specialized course and with experience. And also with the recognition of nurses being a degree holder and with a degree salary, that means we have made progress about this issue.
All right, and we're going to talk a lot more about nurses and their wages a little later, but after the break, we'll first take a look at the nursing school experience with our three nurses, Professor Lee, Datin Hafiza, and Sakti. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're tuned in to the evening edition with me, Ezra Zaid. We've been talking about nursing and the changes this profession has seen, and we've been doing that with three women from the nursing community. We've got Sakti. She's a final year nursing student at Lincoln University College, and she's joined by Professor Lee and Datin Hafiza. Collectively, they have a combined experience of over 100 years. That makes them veterans of the nursing world. Now, they're not only nurses, they're also educators. Professor Lee is a lecturer, and Datin Hafiza, she's the dean of the nursing faculty at Lincoln University College. Now, ladies, we've been talking a bit about how nursing and the perception of it has evolved over the years. I want to move on now to the education of nursing and the nursing school experience. Now, in 2005 to 2010, the reports have said that we've had about 10,000 students graduating each year. This prompted the Malaysian Nursing Board to announce regulations in 2010, where the entry requirements to nursing schools were increased, essentially to stem the tide of new nurses. So right now, am I right to assume that we might be, in fact, having a shortage of nurses entering the profession? Can you tell us more about what is required and what the current situation is like right now?
In the past, it's different because we were in need of people to come in. So, any level. In fact, some of them in the initial post-war period, nurses come in with only standard 6, standard 7. But then, you see, as time goes by, more and more scientific knowledge is needed. Now it is already 2017. We have to move on.
And so why do you think then with the higher entry qualifications did it result in less people putting in their applications in? Why did that downward trend appear?
I think because the 5 credits you have, math, science and bahasa, it is equivalent to other courses which they are doing, like engineering, diploma of physiotherapy, diploma of business studies. Sometimes your parents might not want the student itself to be a nurse. But as a nurse, you must have that better qualification in order to upgrade to be more professional. It's not only just nursing, but other factors come in, you know. For example, what we call paperless hospital. So if a nurse do not know about IT, information technology and other perspective, then it would be very hard for the nurses to take care. And also the drugs. If the basic medical science is not so good, then the nurse cannot treat the modern patient. And patient is not like before. They are very well-versed. Sometimes they Google first, what are you going to say? The nurse must be well-versed, knowledgeable. If we get nurses with lack of knowledge, then you are not updated to the patient expectation.
Sakti, talk to me a little bit more about the nursing school experience right now, because it's not just the critical knowledge that you need to learn. You need to learn soft skills to engage with the patient. Is it quite overwhelming with what is required of a nursing student right now?
Actually, nowadays, the technology is more is improved. Compared with the last time. Last time, if don't know, means you have to pen for the library and search for the book. But right. Nowadays, just click Google and type only. They will come out everything. We no need to take book and bring everywhere. Just bring the handphone also. We can go everywhere in the world.
I guess with what Sakti just mentioned, access to information is a lot easier now. But you know, when you're looking at the process of learning to be a nurse, are there certain old school things that you still need to have, I guess?
Of course, because in teaching, we are giving more or less knowledge to the students whereby from our lectures, they have to search for themselves in greater detail as to what we gave to them in the classroom. So therefore, the teaching part of it is very important as to how we approach the subject. And then also, we as teacher, how do we role model to them? And we have to be genuine. Truthfulness must be there, and also we must be respectable. These are some things that don't appear in the books. It may appear, but you don't feel it unless you are standing in front and giving yourself as a role model to them. That is important.
It's so critical to reconcile the practical element and the theory aspect as well, isn't it?
Yes. For example, you know, attitude is very hard to teach and very hard to develop. So we have also assessment monitoring of attitude of student. As a nurse, punctuality is very important. So if they're not punctual from the classroom, we advise them, counsel them, because when in the ward, if you come late, patient is dying. Your partner will be jeopardized to handle the patient, and the patient itself will be in trouble. And also honesty, caring. If you are not honest, then there will be legal issue on the nurse itself. Caring is important. Passionate is important. Punctuality also very important. To develop the attitude, it takes some time. Because some student, we have also rich student coming in. They want to be a nurse, but very hard because they used to come late, see TV at their own whim and fancy, right. Play with the phone, especially going to the ward, playing the phone. We can't, because the phone gadget can alter the signal of the patient's machine or whatsoever. So it's very hard, because nowadays people feel lost if they don't have a phone. So we have to advise them. You can silent your phone, or you can switch off, and then when during the tea or lunch, you can on the phone back.
Now, the stress of caring for a patient in crisis can be overwhelming. We'll find out how Professor Lee, Datin Hafiza and Sakti manage that stress when we come back. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the evening edition. I'm Ezra Zayed, and I'm joined tonight by nurses Professor Lee Siu Hun and Datin Hafiza Cik Hassan, who have each had about 5 decades of nursing experience, as well as Sakti Parimsimam. She's a student in her final year at nursing school. Now, Professor Lee, I'm getting a sense for what's required of nurses, and it's really quite a lot. There are the long working hours, the practical training, the medical knowledge, and, you know, it's not just a job where you can clock in and coast by. And I suppose what's most essential when it comes to caring for patients is having emotional empathy as well.
Yes, a lot of commitment. You know, the commitment by the nurse. It is just not doing the job. It's not just carrying out the work. You know, we nurses have what you call the soft skills that we talk about. Soft skills in terms of our mannerism, in terms of our attitudes towards the patient. That is the important ingredient that a nurse should have.
Of course. And I think, you know, whether it's in a patient's room or in the OR, there is almost a sense of keeping calm and carrying on with what your respective task is, because you could be encountering a patient that is undergoing some sort of surgery. It could be an emergency situation. How taxing is that on the nurse to have a very cool temperament?
When a patient is in crisis, the nurse also in crisis, because it is the anxiety of the nurse as to how to bring back the normality of the patient's condition. And sometimes our own emotions can affect the nurse herself, because, you know, relatives are around patients and then they start crying and, you know, making so much noise and all that. It adds on to the anxiety of the nurse.
There's an expectation as well.
Yes, expectations. I have one experience where actually the patient was having very bad internal bleeding because of perforation. And we are trying to get the relative to give consent for an emergency meeting. But I tell you, that time, I was really stressed up because they ding-dong bell the whole thing, you know. They pass the buck from here, the pass the buck.
They couldn't make a decision.
Cannot make a decision. Mm. So here you're fighting for time because the patient can bleed to death.
It's so difficult because as a nurse, as a doctor, as somebody with that medical experience, you understand how urgent it is,
yes,
and yet to convey that to the next of kin or the relatives about the urgency of time and decision making, yeah, that must be very difficult.
Oh, I took a long time to convince them. I said, look here, I advised them, I explained to them everything about the urgency of this operation. Still, they couldn't make the decision. That is really very taxing on the nurse, you know, very taxing.
So, Hafiza, do you have similar struggles?
When I was in Port Dickson, patient was at emergency ward. They took a poison. We need to calm down the patient. It's quite difficult. The wife rushing at the husband and then said, please, 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 because we need to intubate the patient and then to put on, we have to flush out the, and then we have to give drip. We can't have them around us and say, please, 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 can you just move? No, I want to have my husband. I want to have my husband. Oh my God. I was so stressful, but I was young nurse, but I was a bit cool because I think I was quite elderly when I qualified, what, 24, 25. So, very cool person. And I say, calm down, calm down. I will give you the opportunity to see your husband when everything went up. So, we quickly push in. And then I call the other nurses to calm them down and to speak their own language. Because it's easier when you speak their own language than for me who speak Malay, maybe they don't understand. So, that settle for that night, but a very exhausting night because we call the doctor and then we set up drip, we flush out the poison, but because the screaming outside with the mother and the daughter and the son really give us the shrill, you know, really stressed me up, and I was very upset until the next day, you know, because they were crying and crying and crying.
And what's also so difficult is that if that happens on a Monday and you go home and get X amount of hours sleep, it's not like you can MC the next day. You have other problems to troubleshoot on the Tuesday as well, perhaps with even greater expectation and pressures as well. We've been speaking a lot about, I guess, nurses dealing with the patients themselves. There's a lot of elements where it can be a very comfortable and pleasant relationship. Sometimes it can be a little bit more testing. As you both mentioned, managing the relatives and next of kin, that is a huge, huge challenge. And I see it in my own experience as well as I'm visiting relatives at the hospital. You know, I salute all the nurses who are able to put a smile each time another plain, abnormal, extraordinary request comes in from the relative. That is a different level of soft skill.
Yes, yes. So that is where you see how nurses have what you call multiple roles. For the patient, we have to, you know, do all that we are required to do to save the life. And on the other hand, the relatives, how are we going to tackle them? We are also doing that part of it. That is why it's very challenging, you know, this aspect of the caring.
During their training, we also teach them counseling, psychology, and during the communication skill, we teach them how to de-role. De-role themselves, very important.
And why is that important?
Because you cannot bring your misery back to your family. And if you're having problem with the family, you cannot bring your misery to the ward and putting the pressure on the patient. You should be a very caring and compassionate nurse. So nurses have been taught on that perspective. So only for them to implement. As time go by, they will be very well-versed in the role themselves or a certain aspect.
I wanted to ask, in a time right now where everything is Googleable, a lot more people now feel that they can question doctors and nurses about the type of care that they provide just because they managed to Wikipedia and Google something. Is that a new challenge that nurses have to adjust to?
Yes, it's a new challenge because they Google and they seem to be more knowledgeable than the nurse.
Purportedly, yes.
Yes. So, however, if it really comes to a very difficult question, then I think we should, you know, advise the patient to let us have a consultation together with a specialist, and then we'll come to a conclusion. That's how it goes about.
We spoke a little bit earlier, or Dr. Hafiza mentioned about engaging with patients and communicating with them in a way that makes them feel comfortable. You know, language, clearly, the more languages you know will immediately put the patients and the respective relatives at ease. Do you find that to be a useful communication where you can speak other languages as well?
It's useful, but sometimes it's very difficult. Even though we have to explain it many times, also they won't understand. Then we have to be very patient. We have to sit beside them, then have to explain like this, reinforce the doctor order. So then only some relatives, they understand, some don't. So we have to more patient to give the explanation to them.
To add in, I think action play very important part. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Just be with the patient, counsel them, hold their hand, hold their family's hand, be comfortable to them. You don't need to say any words so that you're not damaging your relationship. That play a very important part as a nurse.
So we touched on the fact that some of our best nurses are leaving Malaysia for better work opportunities in countries like Saudi Arabia and Singapore. So we'll focus more on that when we return. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition. I'm Ezra Zayed, and we've been taking a closer look at what it's like to take on the important role of being a nurse with our three guests this evening, Professor Lee and Datin Haviza, who are both nurses and teachers of nursing. We've also got Sakti, a final year nursing student, and with everyone's varying degrees of experience in the field, it's been interesting to see the perspectives that these women are bringing to the table. And earlier we spoke briefly about job opportunities for nurses outside of the country. And there are reports right now of our experienced nurses opting to work in Saudi Arabia. We know Singapore is welcoming our nurses with open arms. Is there a concern that we are losing our best nurses to these respective countries? And I guess, what are we doing to ensure that more of them choose to stay here?
Well, I feel the nurses, when they are back from Saudi or from Singapore, they are exposed to a lot of very high-tech care over those places. But when they come back, they're discontented. They don't get the kind of feel, of, you know, giving the kind of care that they want to give, because they don't have that technology that can help them.
So that, you know, they feel that when they come back to Malaysia, that the equipment and the environment is just subpar?
Yes. So there's one point. Then secondly, when they are back here, they are looking for a position, or rather get employment. They are not satisfied.
They're looking for career progression very quickly.
Progression, yes. So they are not satisfied, because they always say, okay, I have experience over the other side of the world.
Right.
Now, how do I compare here? So some of them still, after a couple of years, if they ever find a job, they will reapply and go back.
And that seems to be a recurring trend.
For me, yes, of course, we are worrying, because now with the decrease of student intake, with the increase of the entry qualification, we have reduction a lot.
What's been the percentage drop?
I think about 60 to 80%.
60 to 80% yes. Intake drop?
Yes.
That's a lot.
For example, certain colleges used to have intake of 200. Now they only get about 40 students. Now also with the reduction of the PTPTN, a lot of the poor students can't proceed in their study with the private colleges. They do apply with the government, but government also don't take a lot. For example, UM, all those, maybe they do not take a lot. So the last time they come to the private institute, but now with the increase of the entry qualification and the reduction of the monetary loan, there's a lot of concern in this matter.
So I'm listening to particularly two very, very real and significant problems. The first one being that there are less nurses being trained and we need more nurses. I think the ratio at the moment from nurse to population is 1 to 300. And I think the World Health Organization wants it to 1 to 200.
Yes.
So we have a low intake at the moment. And even for those who do graduate, they're off to Singapore and Saudi Arabia. I think, Sakti, you mentioned already that because of your proximity from Johor, you might be going to Singapore as well. Two elements here. What does the government need to do? What does the health ministry perhaps need to address? Or what are some of the incentives that we could provide to ensure that this situation is addressed?
Actually, there are a lot of vacancies in the government sectors, frankly speaking, you know.
But they're not being filled?
They are not being filled.
Why is that?
Why is that? We do not know. Possibly because of the cut in the budget that could have prevented them from taking up the nurses. Because as we all know that our nurses sometimes may be called to do double shift.
And that is the norm now, would you say?
Not certain area.
Not totally in the government hospitals, but quite a thing that is being practiced in the private sectors. They make the nurses do double shift, you know. They don't have enough staff, so they say. Why not enough staff? They're not employing them. That's it. That's the only thing that I feel that is injustice.
Sakti, as somebody who will soon be graduating as a nurse, we've been talking about all of these elements, salaries, career progression. What are your own personal aspirations and expectations? And what are you looking for when it comes to figuring out where you would like to work and where you would like to be posted? Because anyone working in the medical field, there's always a preference. I would like to work in this particular field at this particular hospital. Do you have a preference? Do your colleagues have preferences? I just wanted to get a sense of where the younger nurses are moving towards. And you know, this is a problem that perhaps the two ladies right here will need to resolve at some point.
Yes. Personally, I like to work at the pediatric nursing because pediatric nursing is fun and have to take the child as well. My friends also work at the Singapore. They told me that very fantastic. The nursing life is like a noble career pathway. As a nurse, we can make the difference someone's life, like save the patient's life. Then, as a nurse, I learned the value of the life of the patient because when I see the patient is fighting to stay alive, so then every breath of the life is as a gift from the God.
Do you feel that right now, are there certain areas that require a lot more expertise, a lot more participation, or we just need more nurses in general? There's no particular area that needs more attention than others?
I think it's basically more in general because from then onwards, only when they get into the employment, then only they know where they are being posted to. So even sometimes, the authority do not place nurses in their proper field, in the sense that if a girl has got a post-basic course, may not be posted to the particular speciality, you know, because of shortage of staff or whatever, we do not know.
I agree with Prof Lee, but I think as time goes by, these experienced nurses, the generalists, have to do some post-basic specialization. For example, in ICU, in public health, community health, all these need specialized nurses so that care for the patient will be more meaningful and more effective and you are giving quality of life. If you are a generalist in public health, you only see it as a general, but where community perspective, you need public health perspective and maternity perspective, whereby you can better quality care to the community services.
Final question, I guess, for all of you. What would you say to listeners out there who are aspiring to be a nurse? What is your sales pitch as to why there's an urgent need to become a nurse right now?
For me, my point of view is that after all these years of experience, I think to be a nurse, you are really molded into a different kind of personality. And in fact, we are strong. We are strong in that sense, you know, in all aspects. We're able to handle our own emotions. We're able to handle our family problems well. And also, in other aspects of problem situations, we are able to cope up with that kind of stresses. So I think nursing can mold a person into a holistic person. What about you?
I think nursing is a dynamic process. It's a pearl in the ocean. You can qualify as a nurse and you'll be taken anywhere. You can be a nurse in the ship, in the cruise, a nurse industrial area. And a lot of nurses join stewardess because as the pioneer or stewardess is a nurse. You can be in a nutrition product like Nestle all this need the knowledge and skill. And of course, your soft skill play a very important part to be a nurse. A nurse doesn't mean you need to work in the hospital. When you're qualified, there are a lot of places where you can work. So nursing gives you the skill, knowledge, counselling, psychology, and the basic science whereby you can adapt yourself in all type of areas.
Prof. Lee, Dr. Hafiza, Saiti, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Professor Lee Siew Hun, Datin Hafiza Cik Hassan and Sakti Parimsumam. If you missed any part of this interview or you have a friend who may be interested in finding out more about nursing, go ahead and share this podcast, which you can, of course, find on our website or on our mobile app. I'm Ezra Zayed on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.